How do I greet every? Oh yeah, willing at the coming of Beppo. Okay,
that's the basic stuff. Please.
Well, no, I have a special way to say hello to everybody every episode, and I want to be consistent.
Okay. Hamarek, this is lesson one.
And welcome to the Animokuri podcast. Today's episode, we got a couple of things to cover. We got some Avatar news, space news, featured member interview, and as always, some Na'vi language practice. Joined with me today, I have three other fellow co-hosts. We have Bloomps.
It's good to be back.
Awe.
Kalte.
And Willem.
Kalte anything with that.
And I am, of course, Pomerik. Last week, we hinted that this week's episode would be of significant importance. And we decided during the planning phases that this needed a little bit more time to develop. However, involved in that, we'd like to reach out to you, the community, for some insights that will help us fuel the discussion on the next episode or whenever it is we get around to handling this topic. So the topic that we were planning on was a discussion about post-Avatar effect or post-Avatar depression. This is a topic that is, of course, of significant weight to a lot of people, and it's a very sensitive subject, so we want to make sure that we're doing it justice. If any of our listeners have personal stories from their experiences of being personally greatly affected by Avatar in some way, and emotions resulting from seeing the film for the first time, that they want to share with us, please, if you're on YouTube, you can leave them in the comments. You can send us a message at aanamokri@gmail.com, or you can message us on the Learn Na'vi Community Discord. So, we would love to hear from you. Please share your stories if you're willing to, and we may discuss them or bring them up on the episode in the future. Moving on from that, straight into our regularly scheduled segments. First up on Avatar news, Tsute's Path issue number 2 released on February 13th earlier this week. That would have been Wednesday. While some of us in the podcast team have already read it, we are not going to be discussing the contents of it. However, we simply wanted to mention that issue number 2 is out, and you can go to your local comic store or comic provider and obtain it now. Alternatively, it is available for digital download at darkhorse.com. Additionally, this week saw some other news headlines. James Cameron announced on Instagram that live-action filming has continued for the sequels, probably involving human interactions, things that didn't need to do motion captured, and also announced that Eddie Falco would be joining the team as
Admiral something.
General Edmore?
General Ardmore, yes.
Oh, General.
General Ardmore. So, yes, Eddie Falco will be joining as General Ardmore. It's going to be a significant figure in RDA and probably an antagonist, but we can't say for certain one way or the other. And we've also gotten little clips and interviews as he's been going around and promoting Alita Battle Angel. So let's dive into just those headlines right there. So live action filming continuing. This was surprising to me, actually. I thought all the filming was done and that we were done learning what new AAA stars were being added to the Avatar sequels.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too. Yeah. I don't know about the technology or the terminology of filmmaking, but when they say post-production, I always thought principal photography was done and they only in inverted commas, need to do the CGI stuff. But apparently, they didn't even start the filming with the live-action characters, so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I found that pretty interesting too, although I was excited to hear that they're filming in New Zealand again. That led quite an impressive landscape for them to film in the first time, so.
Right, but the thing is, I don't think we're going to see too much of New Zealand. Like, this isn't necessarily like a Lord of the Rings situation where we're like going to get these sweeping landscapes. Anything we're going to see of Earth is going to be, you know, the polluted hellscape that we saw in the extended cut. And then anything on Pandora, as far as I was aware, While they did do the filming in New Zealand, they created the sets themselves. They never did anything outdoors. So, yes, so they have a good relationship with New Zealand for purposes of filming, like any good film crew. But I don't know how much of New Zealand we're actually going to see.
Yeah. What a waste, yeah. Right? I mean, remember the line, there's no green. And New Zealand is green.
Very green. I think, like, the clip where they were running to it from the chopper into the remote station was filmed in New Zealand, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, honestly.
I'm pretty sure that one was filmed outside there. But yeah, that's probably the closest that you could get to a landscape that you could turn into a Pandoran landscape pretty quickly. I did want to mention, though, I don't think we're going to see very much of Earth at all in the sequels, if any.
A bold claim.
If I remember correctly, I think it was John Landau that said something about that. They interviewed him, and he was talking about how they're focusing on Pandora for the sequels and trying to develop that as much as possible.
Absolutely. They're definitely going to be focusing on it. You could even say that Avatar the First focused on Pandora because we saw nothing of Earth in the theatrical cut. But I think it would be a huge oversight to not sort of show, you know, not just tell, but show what went down when RDA ships started returning with their tails tucked between their legs after they lost the first war against the Na'vi. I think I'd love to see how that played out at corporate.
Me too, honestly.
Yeah, especially if Edie Falco is going to be a major part in the RDA, as far as I understood it. Is interesting. I mean, she wouldn't be coming to Pandora, right? I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. She might.
She's a general, so if she's a general and a commander, she definitely has to be on Pandora.
Oh, I see. Well, what I found interesting then is that Stephen Lang is going to return as Quaritch, right? That's pretty much established. Mm-hmm. So if he's the...
He's returning, air quotes, as Quaritch, air quotes.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah, I know. So if he... But he is still portrayed, or it's still said of him that he's the main villain. So if he's the main villain, and then we have Edie Falco as another villain... Let's see how that plays out.
I feel really bad as pronouncing her name as Edie Falco. It is in fact Edie.
It's Edie, yeah. And,
yeah, I am a moron. I accept this.
No, you're not. Names are difficult.
So yeah, the word that we got previously was that principal photography had finished. So I guess James Cameron refers to principal photography as the stuff that needs mocap.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be the stuff that takes the longest to develop in post-production, so that makes sense.
And to be fair, it's probably a significant majority of the film.
Oh, yeah. They filmed over, like, what, 90 days or something like that?
Yeah, it was comparable to the first film.
Hopefully, since they filmed both films at the same time.
Right, because, they're doing two.
Yeah, that is actually something that is contradicted several times, because some sources say that they film all four sequels in one. And others say it's just a two. It's just a two, right?
Yeah. I cannot imagine that they're filming all four at the same time, because it's a huge gamble with the money that they are investing in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, they filmed the first two sequels, and then the other two are still being worked on, but kind of on a like side project kind of basis, getting pre-production stuff taken care of first. As far as I'm aware, most of the cast has read all of the scripts for all of the sequels and know how the story's going to play out.
Yeah, that we got confirmation from that via Stephen Lang, I believe. But
yes.
But we've also Cameron has also been vocal. I remember seeing a quote somewhere that he wanted to make sure that all the actors had read their parts and know where their characters are going, so they can fully understand, like, you know, what kind of, you know, tones they need to hit, how the character is going to develop and progress throughout these sequels. I have seen nothing to confirm that filming is going on 4 and 5. I've never seen filming and sequels 4 and 5 discussed together. I've only ever seen pre-production and planning and, you know, writing, but no, like, actual putting film or mocap in 4 and 5 yet. They need to do 2 and 3 first And the last timetable I saw or heard about was as soon as 3 is ready to go, gold mastered, sent up to theaters, they're going to start working on 4 and 5.
Yeah.
I've also heard in the past that that James Cameron said something like, well, if 2 and 3 are going to flop, then they're not going to be a 4 and 5. So it would be completely logical if they start working on it now.
Yeah, it's more that they just haven't been greenlit, because Fox didn't greenlight them, but it's likely that Disney's going to greenlight them. I don't see them not doing that. And the CEO has been pretty vocal about their support and their commitment to the series.
I think even the most lukewarm Avatar fan would tell you that sequels 4 and 5 are definitely going to be made. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, is that the case? So I'm actually not sure. So this is an interesting discussion right here. So I have no idea how successful 2 and 3 are going to be, because on one hand, the first movie was amazing, and I think also most people agreed on this at the time that this movie was made. But right now, if you talk to people about Avatar 1, it's usually with this bit of, oh yeah, there was this movie, and now they're making a sequel, and it's taking so long, it's not going to be very interesting, is it? And also the movie was not interesting in itself, so, I mean, the enthusiasm seems maybe gone a little bit. So I feel like I have a very hard time predicting how well Avatar 2 and 3 will be doing. And I'm an Avatar fan, so no doubt about that.
As a counterpoint, I'd like to point out that Alita's just released, and it's already blowing their predictions out of the water, and their predictions were that it was going to flop. So
to the point that we don't know how well the sequels are going to go, absolutely. And if anybody knew how well any movie would do in the box office, they would be a billionaire.
I was going to say, what are you doing here?
Yeah. What are you doing on the Aeon and Mokuri podcast? But to the point that like enthusiasm is dwindling and that people are like, oh, the Avatar sequels are taking forever, or no one's going to care about them. That's a really like tired and farmed entirely on anecdotal evidence that is really bad anecdotal evidence.
Sure.
They will do incredibly well once people know that they exist. And I think once we see the first few trailers surfacing to reawaken the sleeping Avatar base, it's going to be huge. And we will be able to see the magnitude of it. But like the people who are on the microphone right now, not these microphones, but like the people who are commenting no one cares about Avatar sequels are the noisiest bunch of people who weren't into the first ones, and they heard.
Yeah, it's definitely like a vocal majority thing.
Mm-hmm. They heard that there's a sequel to a thing they didn't like, and now they're going to resume being vocal about how it wasn't their cup of tea. But I think you could do an audience poll of the people who actually did go see Avatar. They liked it, and they would love to see more of it. However, it's just not something that's on their minds consistently. Majority of people are saying, oh, Avatar sequels, awesome, like that sounds great, and then they don't comment and be like, no one says cool, I'll make a judgment call when we have something to see. Like no one makes a sensible comment like that.
Is it in poor taste to go to that vocal minority and go scoreboard? Is that poor taste? Because you know Avatar's still sitting at number one at terms of grossing.
I feel like, so I actually have words on that point, and I actually think number one grossing is actually one of the weaker points in Avatar's like the Avatar sequels will succeed favor. It's absolutely going to do well, but like if you dissect those numbers, there was a lot of things that were sort of inflating its box office revenue.
Yeah, but even then you still have to take into account the fact that if there were these things, then people still had to pay for them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, and absolutely. And it's still, it's like, it's not a non-existent argument. There, you can make a point from that, but it's one of the weaker points in like your arsenal of knighting for Avatar on the internet. We're going to move on to space news, and for that, I'll send you over to Awe.
Okay, so the major space news that I wanted to talk about, and really the only one, is that Opportunity finally was declared a completed mission. The Opportunity rover was sent up with its sister rover Spirit in 2004, and in 2018 we lost contact, and in finally on February 13th of this year they declared the mission complete, which means that Opportunity is now considered a pretty much a dead rover on Mars right now.
Right. So from what I understood, the last transmission that they got is that the battery was low.
Mm-hmm. I believe the full transmission was, my battery is low and it's getting dark. It was encircled by a planet-wide dust storm that lasted for around a month. The solar panels were completely covered. It couldn't charge. And when the battery died, there was no way to restart it.
Yeah, exactly. I remember I saw a video that was discussing about the various challenges that rovers on Mars have. And one of the significant ones is just simply powering them. The issue of the sand getting in the way of the solar panels is definitely a huge hurdle. So it was sort of a matter of time, but I mean, it had a really good run. Didn't it go like, wasn't it expected to last like maybe like a month or like some really short amount of time, but it kept going?
The mission timeline was 90 days. It lasted 14 years.
So this is like sci-fi Hanukkah.
Now they did have to do a lot of things to keep it going for that long. There were instances, I think one of the wheels stopped spinning. There were a couple of other couple of other issues that they ended up having to deal with. But all in all, it vastly exceeded what they expected it to.
Yeah, I read up on it a little bit on Wikipedia. They said it was 55 times or so its original lifetime span. So it's pretty amazing for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go. By the end of its lifetime, it had lost steering to both of its front wheels, it had lost the use of its 256 megabyte flash memory, and there was also a heater that got stuck that was threatening to limit the available power. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Now, for a small listing of some of the things that Opportunity did, one of the best things it did is it found a mineral called hematite, which is a mineral that, as far as we know, only forms in water.
Ooh.
Interesting. Altortitensi.
So that's one of the biggest hints. It also found indications at the Endeavor crater of the action of ancient water similar to the drinkable water of a pond or lake on Earth. So it really helped for that idea that Mars at some point had flowing rivers and lakes and maybe even oceans.
Yeah, that's basically established now, right? That there was flowing water. It's just unfortunately it's all gone now, at least on the surface.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as we're pretty darn sure that it had water at some point. A lot of that thanks to Opportunity, and we're pretty sure that there's some underneath the surface as well. To kind of piggyback off this and to kind of look forward to the future, NASA is planning a 2020 rover to land on Mars, and the goal with that rover is to actually collect samples, which will be retrieved during a later mission and sent back to Earth to analyze.
Nice.
So that's the hope.
This is one of the things about visiting other like celestial bodies in our solar system that really fascinates me, is simply how little we know. But also simultaneously how much we know with how little we know, I guess. There's sense in those words I said somewhere. But like, yeah, we've like almost literally barely scratched the surface of like the moon and Mars. But from the little information that we have been able to extrapolate so much information about these places that we've, in the case of the moon, haven't been in many years, and in the case of Mars, haven't literally never been yet. I can't help but imagine a future where once humans have some sort of colony on Mars, should we ever do that, that like someone's going to go and find the Opportunity rover and like put it in a museum, and like think of what the Opportunity rover would represent for humanity, like for a settlement on Mars. Like, We have like these historical figures who like founded countries, but like we don't have like a monument to the first humans who like spoke language or like the first humans who landed, you know, in some part of the world. But like we would have this actual like this robot, which, you know, by itself could be a monument, could put it that in a museum. But like this is the first thing that we had on this planet, and we gathered so much information that led to where we are now. Like that's just like a really inspiring image to me.
Yeah, it's true. It's funny that you mentioned that. I was reading about this on Reddit at some point, and someone mentioned how any decommissioned NASA tech, any decommissioned NASA anything really, becomes property of the Smithsonian. So technically, since Opportunity is now a completed mission, the Opportunity rover is the property of the Smithsonian, which means, yeah, it's probably going to be put into a museum at some point once we go get it. And it's a when, not an if, trust me.
Imagine being able to say you own something on a rock so many thousands, millions of miles away in space.
Right? That would be so awesome.
I imagine a little Wally sitting up there on Mars and waiting for someone to pick him up.
Yeah. Spirit, I remember Spirit did not quite last as long as Opportunity. It's Opportunity's kind of sister rover, but Spirit broke down much faster. It ended up becoming a research platform because it completely got stuck and couldn't move.
Oh no.
Yeah, and it was decommissioned much sooner. But again, 15 years, that's an insane amount of time for something that they built to last 90 days.
It really is. All right, and with that, our next segment is a featured member interview. This week, it is me.
You!
Hi.
Hi, Bamarik.
Got it.
So, to start off, I mean, we've already seen some of this last episode, so the questions will probably be similar. So, to start off, just tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do.
Cool. I'm a game designer by trade. I make video games. I mostly involve myself in design and music composition, but I do a little bit of everything, kind of a jack of all trades. My hobby on the side, my primary hobby, is just interacting with the Not Be Language community. I help others learn. I make resources. I absolutely love it. And something I'm planning on doing after the project I'm working on ships is actually dedicating several months of basically full-time video production. I want to build the Not Be As a Second Language, I guess, brand on YouTube and just make high-quality video lessons that will be available for everybody there. Outside of that, I have a variety of interests. I'm sort of your garden variety nerd. I like elements of sci-fi, my favorites being just anything involving alien species. Time travel is another huge one for me. I ironically love Ancient Aliens, just because I think it's fun to imagine the world that they build. And that sort of brings me to my other major hobby, is just world building. It's what actually brought me to Avatar to begin with. It was, I love when a lot of care is given to intricate details to things. I'm the kind of person who just dives into a Wikipedia article and then reads the rest of the wiki for the game or the show or whatever it is I'm involving myself into. I do deep dives into my interests.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that was actually my next question. So it's always interesting for me to know how someone from your background with gaming is actually then drawn to a community that is primarily focused on language. So have you any language experience before Na'vi and Avatar?
So I have quite a background with languages for as awful as I am with them. So in high school, I learned, I took Japanese classes for several years. I was even the secretary and then president of the school's Japanese club. I was moderately functional with Japanese. I can still read kana, but I have a huge gaps in my understanding of kanji. But anyway, that was my primary like language focus. But I loved the idea of languages. They always fascinated me when I was very young, but like I didn't study them. I didn't know how to study them. So after college, I started just dabbling around. I'm like, I need to get back into languages because they just mean so much to me. How do I interact with this? So I started learning ancient Egyptian was my first dive because that's another like interest of mine.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
But I didn't get very far, but I can read some hieroglyphs. So I got that going for me. And then from there, I went into Russian because I was fascinated with languages that have different alphabets from the Latin one that the English and Spanish and stuff use.
Yeah,
Spanish and like French never fascinated me, but like if it's got a different alphabet, it's like, oh, that's already piqued my interest.
All right.
I remember maybe half of what I learned there, and I basically just made it through the alphabet. and then from there, I was like, man, I suck at learning languages. And then shortly after that, I watched Avatar about like once a year. It was sort of like a tradition where like around my birthday, I would just like watch Avatar. But yeah, I watched Avatar and I'm like, oh, they have a language in this film. That's so cool. And I was remembering how much I love the world of Avatar and all the intricate details that went into it. So I'm like, you know what? It would be sort of like the most me, like on brand thing to do for me to like look into the Na'vi language. And so just for fun, I just looked it up and I was like, oh my God, this is cool. And I stuck with it like, because I had people to talk to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Probably not the only one who has this this experience, right? So if I remember correctly, you're one of the people who are not so interested or how can I put this, not so keen on the forums. Am I right?
Yes, I have a forum account. I have two posts on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I made a forum account when I joined, but. I don't like interacting with forums as much.
Yeah, totally understandable. For me, it's just interesting to hear how a person would go about nowadays if I see the movie for the first time and say, oh, they have a language, interesting. What if it actually existed? You probably type it into Google. And the thing is, for me, then you pretty much... joined the Discord channels right away, right? So how do you find this? That's the thing I wanted to know.
Simple answer. The link to the Discord was on the main homepage of learnnotbe.org.
Oh, it was. So when did you join?
I joined, I can give you the exact date even. I joined April 18th of 2017.
Oh, all right. And Discord was already in place. Huh, that's interesting. So
yeah. Yeah, the Discord was starting to wind up in like membership joining after it made its way to the front page of learnnotbe.org, which was, as far as I understand, at the beginning of 2017. And it was around like March, April, May, June of 2017 that we started seeing a bunch of people who came to the Discord who really didn't have a presence on the forum at all.
Right. Yeah. I joined Discord quite late because I'm one of those guys who almost was present at the beginning of the forum. So I stayed true to that. But that's totally fine. Okay. Right.
Yeah. You can just say that you were on the Discord before it was cool. You weren't actively there, but you were there.
Yeah. It's true. All right. Going back deeper into the language, that's what we are here for, right? Mm-hmm. So you talked a little bit about what brought you to the language. So you have been studying the language or learning the language for pretty much that time period, right? Since 2017, right?
Yeah, basically, this April I'll have been in the community for 2 years.
All right. How long did it take you to go from a Numiyu, a learner, to a Karyu, a teacher?
Not actually that long. So one of the things that I'm sort of known for in the community among the people who have sort of watched me develop my skills is that, like, I started teaching almost immediately after I joined. I didn't know much to teach, and I didn't teach it particularly well, but I was giving pronunciation lessons on the alphabet, which is basically all I knew at that point. About a week or two after I joined, like, my oldest Google Doc, of which there are many, is like from the beginning of May. So I was making docs and resources off of anything that I knew, and that was sort of my way of learning the language. Was like, if I can teach it to somebody else, then I truly know it. So I would do research to make sure that the information that I was providing to other people was accurate.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That goes a little bit into one topic that we are planning for one of the next episodes, like learning methods. So that would be a perfect example for something that, if I can teach it to someone else, then I learn myself through it, right? So that, yeah, that's
exactly interesting.
All right, going deeper into the language, we had this last episode as well. Do you have a favorite Navi word?
I do have a favorite Navi word.
Do tell.
So my favorite Navi word is zatzo. So it is the combination of zo, which is my favorite word, and atz, which is my favorite infix.
All right.
You can have a favorite infix? What?
I have a favorite infix. I'm that kind of person.
All right, that would be first.
I love the inferential infix so much in Napi, like, because it's one of those things that just doesn't. That's really hard to communicate in English, because we don't really have varying degrees of like authority within the way that we speak. I always have to have a reason for things. I love confiding in that I have like facts or evidence or a reason to believe what I know and what I teach and what I explain to people. And so Ots sort of encapsulates that. It's, I have reason to believe that this is true and I am sharing this information. I'm not certain, but like to the best of my knowledge, this is the case. And I've now spent more time talking about Ots than I have Zo.
That's interesting. So how would you translate then Zatzo?
I would translate it as, I believe it's working as it should. I believe this is its normal state. I'm not certain, but from my best judgment, this is normal. I think this is normal, basically.
All right, right. Yeah, there are certain infixes that get used way too seldom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, and on the other spectrum, do you have, well, maybe not a word that you hate or a least favorite word, but something that maybe you you struggle pronouncing or that you don't get into your head, something that eludes you?
Assimilation, and specifically the inconsistency of assimilation. The poster child for this is lumpe. I am known for disliking the word lumpe.
All right. Why would that be?
So chief etymology correspondent, right?
Chief etymology correspondent Pomodic hates lumpe because it disguises that it comes from loon, and then the question affix of be. Like, when written, well, so when said, you don't notice the problem. It's like, lumpe, lumpe. It's like, okay, it's lumpe. Like, that makes sense. But when you're writing it, you write it as L-U-M-P-E instead of L-U-N-P-E.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, you see this word that's like, looks like lumpy. And it's like, what is this? What does that mean? Like, if you didn't know that the pe affix indicates a question, you'd be like, And then, on top of all that, Pelun just sounds so much better.
That's personal preference, but yeah, I know what you mean.
It is personal preference. Though I will say, I know everyone has their really strong opinions on the different question words. I am one of the few people who actually likes Zhengbe. I'd say I like it about the same as I do Zhengbe as Pezeng. Oh. I am okay with either.
Interesting.
I very much dislike Lumpe.
Okay. And you wouldn't be the first and the last, yes. I think. Right. Interesting. Anyone else want to chime in or pose a question?
I'd actually be very interested to hear the answer to the question. If you could ask Frommer or Cameron a movie or language-related question, what would it be?
Okay, well, I get to be the first person on the podcast to say I'd ask Frommer a question. Since I am the second member to be interviewed, this is less amazing than it sounds. But no, I mean, Cameron's gonna Cameron. He'll share what he has to share, and I'm sure in the sequels we'll get so much more world building stuff. So I'm not on the edge of my seat, like, please give me any world building. But I'd definitely ask Frommer a question. For my primary resources that I write for the community, Natvi as a second language, my sort of guiding philosophy is to, if you can understand the sort of systems that make up the Natvi language and like the rules that it tends to follow or the trends that it moves towards, you can learn the language so much faster and you can remember it so much better. And I always try to impart the tools or like internal logic that seems to go into things, even if it's something that Frommer hasn't necessarily codified. But I feel like if anything I can do to sort of get closer to how does Frommer think about the language, how does he think about its grammar on sort of a meta level, and sort of get into his head to the point where you could almost like predict if there was a new grammar rule, how it would be handled. So I guess that my ultimate question would come down to, please talk to me about si and how the Natvi think about this word si, because for all intents and purposes, it behaves like an adposition, but it does thing. It breaks a couple of rules of adpositions. So si can be put before a word with a space or appended at the end of a word without a space. But the thing that makes si not a true adposition is that it can also coincide with case endings. Because you can have a case ending and si on a noun. But what you're doing with si is you are extending the, I guess, noun slots for a particular part of speech by saying there are more than just this one for this particular role. And so I'd want to pick his brain about how he feels about si and the way that it behaves like an adposition but truly isn't one, and if that relates at all to how he feels about how the language would develop regarding case endings and affixes of similar thing, like how those interactions work. And like si just feels like, and it's a huge exception.
True.
In an otherwise very tight system.
Yeah, because it's not only on nouns, but also it can be on adjectives and adverbs as well. So that's, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Also related to to, right?
Yeah, to, mm-hmm. To behaves like a little bit the same, right? Mm. Interesting. Well, that would wind up into a very long, maybe like a lecture. Long.
Yes, but again, sort of in the vein of how Awe answered this last week, where it was like, Cameron, tell me about like a day in the life of the Natvi. It's more almost like sort of understanding the underlying philosophy more than I want the specific question answered.
Yeah, I understand. That would be very. Please record this session. So, any closing words, Mavamarik?
Just, you know, thank you for the interview. I always appreciate the opportunity to sort of just nerd out about the language. And I appreciate working with everybody. If I had one message to everyone listening, I know a lot of our listeners are in the Learn Natvi community and sort of embedded in the community built around the language. But something I try to make very clear with NASL resources is that this is it's a very approachable language. Like, you can learn this language. If I can learn Natvi, I'm I feel like everybody else can, because I have failed to learn so many different languages before. I've tried so many different things, but like Na'vi is a truly beautiful language. Dip your toe in, and I am sure you will find something that you love.
Couldn't have said it better. That's right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hidayo. So with that, we're going to move on to our final segment, the Na'vi language conversation practice. We're just going to have a conversation here. And like last week, we're going to be prompted by a word, the word of the cast. This week it is iowang, or animal. It's a noun. And with that, we're going to move on to the conversation practice. Yivuneko.
Sivako.
Sivako. Snyaiko. Ha. Pe iowang. E wa evenge sunu angaru frato.
Kulan aya iowang ewa evenge kelu hona
kelu hona
sunu veru a iowang a hona tafral sunu veru fuampo
strange what do you think
sunu veru tsa iowang e on al
ha Sane, fuampo.
Sane. Ha, ma willim, sada ke ngaru sunu iowang nao to polu hona?
Nei. Kalunga e nemot. Taluna e sunu eru ikran. Taluna fa ikran na vi tsun tsuivayon a sunu veru nit an. Sle na kenon kali weya nit an ke sunu veru ta luna lut eum kalu hona.
Srane.
Aya ioan fit an lu eum me ewe ving kefiak.
Weru frahe ang ke lu hona.
Lungai.
Weru nitang.
Mat awe pe yoang sunungar frato.
Sunu weru palulukan frato.
Ura Joang at Ur.
Fte Tivul Povtu. Ngalu Smar Poru Nao.
Fra Joang se fra sute Palukanuor Lu Smar.
Ngai.
Ningai.
Ningai.
Do hok erike he?
Koop sunu weru kenten.
Kenten.
Sran. Tsa iwan honen ngai.
Sane. Se hiik diit. Ketsun slivam tenkta pifia tsun po tsun tsa iwan Ivei Saleufiat gra po zwaion Taluna po min semin 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 semin
Susana te paum
Kenteneri cœur ouais puis donc oh ou élanoué une terrain toc teri et pour fracœur fracœur puis donc oh teri I genten zererok a frato. Tap e sunu poru nuot. Ike hegangham poti.
Kenten sunu netiri ru frato kefer?
Srane. Hegangham poti miteng.
Ute lu. Lua skate ngaung me ewa even kefiak I
ngaung
sle
san
kef bilwe futa futa skate snakes kefiak
san ngaung anim kefiak
ja san sle ongal ke kitsole a safne ioangit kaukr merelarsik.
Srane.
Olivu e kariu pol. Sakur e siao we safne ioangur nimoang.
Nimoan. Le uamit.
Srane.
Sene eng a pivet sa le ut ne karu paut. Nimoan.
Srane.
Fko ketsun pivet et Satni yao ni yuan tam
son ngazika leu
son für mi und der spiel engal futa atokirina lu fne yuan sir
wari ke het aluna leu pupme ke Atukirina ur kelu petsi alu Joan.
Ngai. Sve. Aunga tsun leki vaten sat.
Veri sranhe. Spawe da aia Atukirina tsun spivil. Fte ke se za u na aiwang kanu.
So, milte ute tsun tsun fo lekivate saleufia nit kan.
Ute Kufwa safne yuang ke kel ne win saifne yu snaife yuang hu yuang sutsane al luwer
zum divan zum slivan Ulte pefne Joan enga neu CVA me mipa rel relausik.
Ilu.
Ilu kapiak.
Srane.
Srane. Wari neu CVA mawup. Mabupit.
Sewint u toruke ta kefiak.
Quel mom?
Quels sont les verres?
Safne Yoang Srer me Mesawint U Alu Doruk, the first flight.
Ah! Sane, set Suno as Ivero. Suno veru tsai Yoang frato. Safne Yoang lut ansa.
Safne Yoang set Spin, gefährt.
Rut Aliveng?
Yoang Alu Spin.
Spings. Ah, Srane. Sunuverufa set Tunoetiva a little pookit with singer.
What do you think?
Spings, Srane. Spillow I sutel a hangamo torupit. Nolo aya yoangi alor ute. Ayoangi. Tahona ta fral sunuero.
Nolingal sewent uti? Sra?
E toro sra? E sra ne tsola a.
Me köl, kivya?
Sra ne, me hane.
Ute mengama pamarik se tawe?
Salami. Where do loot the palm? Srake Ayoel Sole A Iwangi Talu Fwake? Downem Kerme?
Fwake me Rusik?
Srane.
Ke Fwa Make?
Ketsolea will hit Ang Ti Alu Fwake me. Merel alsik sve lu litu angai ta ila fall.
Sorry.
Ningai koak a litu a koak. Ketok fraker.
Kef ketok ke a rel me wiki. Sle zene fki ketok. FKT book. Zen FKT book.
Fitzenge Fko Pamral Soli San Tsayoang Fko Tsulun Tsiva A Me Uvan.
Oh, Sra.
Ningai Sra.
Kaum Tsun Tsun. Hit Oa. Kaum Tsun Tive Tok. Me uvan.
Eltok tensi.
Talungim.
Srane.
Torukeri oe ke tsole a.
Ka tsole a, sa?
Kehe. Nikef to.
Kehe. Sola purte wene nitan. To nga tsun tsa kem sivi tsa krsweilu to nga nintsa.
Silpewe tsne tsun ni vin tsa sewen t'uti me vosp e pu.
Puka Sran e mi munhen
Sran
e silpeo e sne oet sivun tsa kem sivin e teng tsa krr
o neunga sivop ne toitslang ne mon Srak
e Sran e trotsun sivun sle Kermum tenta tsunstu fuke.
Supeo e sne tsawentu za'u USA ne nimun de Tsunoi Sivea.
Oh, Spillover Fifianiteng.
Aizute anoptohoki put essan keumum sle tsunslu. Tutte ol zate paumi polaum mi herne.
Ke tsuno e ronsra lingi vop futa ke taiet au ne USA. Taluna sa sewint u fle ke fia.
Srane. Flo lelent an.
Ja, sra. Aum to to Iowa talk Munich kit de niven zasavint ut aum sei sute sei suteru zum net sei sute hu zum pidenk o au
sondern sa sa bil zaperte o ne se neo oi pidenk o hu aisutea nerume filipia nerume tok eo tok
sondern
Aumzu sapkarne.
Srane koketsun ivomun kefia. Tengta pehem laien me susau krr.
Fte bivenk o lahia suteu kefia?
Kolan me trrtr. Ketsun ko ivomun tengta pehem laien. E o fpil futa... Oh, spil ne haum. Ha rut e jek.
Kro.
Ke ne oi i vek ngati fu ai ngati sle zene oi kan pi vil nit an te tli vam fit te penk o ti.
Ke a ting asik? Frapo zan erun, kefja?
Zan ne i.
Oh, spuvinat ele.
Tam, fete penk ori hase isra?
Ah, zuntiva.
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 Tute uneo pifut e. Kehe?
Kehe. Keru veru tele aneo oi pifenk o tei.
Tam. Kelu eru neteng.
A pamerik, rut e fe podcast eru hasesi.
Strane. So with that, we're going to wrap up the podcast. Again, another reminder to our listeners. If you have any personal stories or anecdotes related to strong emotional reactions you had to seeing the Avatar film for the first time, whether or not you feel they directly relate to post-Avatar effect or post-Avatar depression, we would love to hear from you. Again, this is for further discussion on a future episode of the podcast. Might not necessarily be the next one. We want to give this the time it deserves and make sure that we have, you know, constructive things to say. With that, we're going to close out the podcast. Thank you very much for listening.
Hai
lo vai. Hai lo vai. Hai lo vai,
Utei Rayo.